Good afternoon. My name is Sharvari Karandikar. I'm at the College of Social Work, Ohio State University. With me is my colleague, Dr. Lindsay Jasinski. Lindsay, say hi. And then on this paper, we have two other students of ours, James Carter and Marissa Kaloga, who could not be here. The study is on surrogate mothers in India. Have you heard of the popular India being such a popular destination for surrogate mothers and medical tourism? So I started this research with the understanding that this is a growing problem, and social work as a field had not studied this so far. So this is where we started doing this work. India is emerging as a top destination for transnational gestational surrogacy. India legalized commercial surrogacy in 2002 and is the first country to have a thriving national and transnational commercial surrogacy industry. Why India? It's because Indians speak English. Indian doctors speak English more than Indian people. It has advanced medical technologies. It's not just reproductive surrogacy, but a knee replacement or cosmetic surgery. Everything is cheaper, when you do it in India. So that's why people travel there. And surrogacy that costs about $100,000 here, it costs just about $15,000 to $20,000 if you do it in India. So that's why people from all over the world prefer to go there to get babies. Intended parents from all across the world seek services from infertility experts, doctors in India, and opt for Indian surrogates for affordable services. Specifically, a large number of US and UK citizens travel to India. There is everything. Egg donation, surrogacy, childbirth, delivery, everything is taken care of at this destination. This research we had, it was a big study. For this presentation, we are addressing two research questions. What were our respondents' motivations for becoming surrogate mothers? So we interviewed women who had been surrogate mothers in the past, and why did they decide to become surrogate mothers? What was it that they were thinking? And what were the experiences of surrogates pertaining to social isolation, stigma, health risks during and after pregnancy? The methods, again, we did a qualitative study, in-depth interviews, just exploring most of these questions that I discussed earlier. We did this study in one clinic in India, in a state called Gujarat, which is kind of the western side of India. This clinic was selected because it is like one of the most popular destinations. Everybody who knows about this industry that I'm discussing will probably first think of going to this clinic. It's huge. It has several surrogates that are connected with the clinic, women. When we visited this place, there is a surrogate hostel or a surrogate home. There was about 80 women at a time pregnant with babies at any given point of time. So it's a big place in a very small little city in the western part of India. It's not even like Mumbai or Delhi or any other big city. This is a small city. A staff member from the clinic helped us provide contacts with surrogate mothers. I conducted interviews because I could speak the languages. We recorded the interviews, and a total of 15 women were interviewed for this research, who I'll be discussing today. Each woman was interviewed for about 40 to 50 minutes. Recruitment continued till saturation, which was reached, and we gave 500 rupees as compensation for participating in this study, and the IRB of Utah as well as OSU approved the protocol. The interview guide was first in English, then we translated it, back translated it. It had several questions on demographics, marital status, number of children they had, their own children, their education, place of origin, just finding out more about who these women are. And then, of course, getting into the questions about why did they become surrogates, and then what are their experiences as surrogate mothers. All the research was translated back into English, and we did qualitative analysis. No real names were reported in the results. Even though I said several topics emerged from this study, it was big. We are discussing two topics today. Before getting into the motivations of becoming a surrogate, I want to tell you who these women are. Majority of these respondents were illiterate women. They couldn't read or write, so there was no way they could even read what contracts they had signed. the surrogacy contracts. They were between the ages of 21 and 30, and most of them had been surrogate mothers at least 3 times when we interviewed them. All the respondents were married. They had their own children, and this is kind of a requirement in India that you need to be married and have your own kids to be qualified to become a surrogate mother. Respondents were referred to the clinic by the doctor, or she hired, the doctor has hired some agents or, you know, women who, unfortunately, in India, they sometimes call social workers. I don't know why they call it social workers, but people who go and talk about surrogacy and kind of recruit women to the clinic. A majority of the respondents were very low socioeconomic background. Their husbands were unemployed. Surrogacy was their way to get out of poverty. So it was obvious that, you know, these were not women who could read and write, had a job, and, you know, decided or chose to become surrogate mothers. They were women who could not make a living, and this was a way to make money. The kind of money that would not come after several months of doing a regular job for them or their husband. Most of the commissioning parents were from the United States, Japan, Canada, Australia, England, I said Japan again, one from India and one from Madagascar. The motivations, it was kind of clear, very, very clear motivation was financial. That was why they were becoming surrogates. Respondents mentioned, though, that there was discrepancy in receiving payments, so not all got the same amount of payment every time, or it depended on the couple. So whatever the couple could afford, they would get gifts or money over and above. And so there was kind of a competition between them. Oh, if I get an American, couple, I would get more money than if I get Indian couple. Extreme financial deprivation, and some of them had dissatisfaction with the compensation. They talked about that. Women were compelled to become surrogates, sometimes by agents, husbands, and they had to succumb to the pressure for surrogacy for monetary benefits. And this we noticed is women talked about, oh, my husband read this in the newspaper, and he kind of asked me to become a surrogate. Okay, you do that one time. Then he asked me to become a surrogate again. You know, so this is something going wrong. My husband is the one that insisted that I should become a surrogate. He read an article in the newspaper and then brought me to the clinic. I didn't want to do it, really do it, but when I thought about the money, I had no choice. Without the money, I would not have gotten our family together and our house, and I was ensuring my child's education. This other woman says, I'm a widow and I live with my mother-in-law and my son. I was not able to make ends meet and lived in extreme poverty. House was leaking all the time. There was a woman from the clinic who came to my house and talked to me about surrogacy. I really needed the money, and she made it sound so easy. She had done it 3 times, so only the money, I decided to listen to the woman and come to the clinic. These women also talked about social isolation and stigma. Majority of the respondents lived in surrogate hostels away from their home during the second and the third trimester of their pregnancy. This was mostly done because, the stigma attached to the pregnancy, and everybody in their community, neighborhood would ask them whose baby it is, and they didn't want to say that they were doing this. So it was better that they stayed away. So there was some arrangement that they had to do at their homes to look after their own kids when they were away. And most of the times their families helped, is what they said. Respondents experienced this kind of isolation during the period and talked about missing their homes and their children. One says that it's very difficult to stay without family for so long and also keeping a secret from them. Another one says, I'm a Christian. When the church folks came to know about it, they stopped talking to me and stopped admitting me in the church. This other woman says, I lived in one village, and once people found out about the surrogacy, we had to move. So now we are in a different village. When I came to the surrogate house, I told people that I was taking a job for a year away from home. But then people started asking a lot of questions, and then they started talking about me badly, so I had to move again. Majority of the women complained that people in their town village looked at them suspiciously. So there is a general you know, nobody knows what this is, right? So there's a lot of explanation on, you know, this is medical, this is not really something, you know, and these women don't know enough either. So they don't know that to be able to tell somebody about it. They were criticized by their extended families and people for ignoring their own children, to giving birth to foreigners' kids. Majority of their children compared surrogacy to sex work, and they said, at least I'm not selling my body for sex. I'm making fast money, but in a more respectable manner. Majority of these women had C-section deliveries and had no choice in the matter. Most of them delivered twins. Majority of the respondents felt that they were taken care of during the pregnancy, but after the delivery, there was no medical care and follow-up. So this is a major difference that there is between surrogates over here in the U.S. and in India, where we don't have insurance for women, you know, for after the pregnancy. So it's just, you know, they get more care for the surrogate pregnancies than they have ever gotten for their own pregnancy. You know, these are women living in slums and, you know, don't have resources. And once they're done with the surrogacy, they're back to their life. So then there is no follow-up. Five women reported complications at the time of delivery. Respondents reported that they were provided information about surrogate pregnancy, but no information, you know, clear information about C-sections. Also, these women did not have C-sections before. So if you are to qualify to become a surrogate, you have to have a natural pregnancy delivery before you get qualified. So they had no idea what this was about. And the respondents were also not informed about the high chances of carrying twins. And this was interesting because some of them said, oh, if I knew I was going to have twins, I would not have done this. Or if I knew, oh, shouldn't I get more money? Shouldn't I get double the money, you know, because I carried twins? Those kind of things. Overall, women had very little knowledge about health risks involved in multiple surrogate pregnancies through C-sections, and women did not have knowledge about the contracts and the details that there were written in the contracts. Those contracts are huge. Nobody can read them. Even I can't understand them. Those are for the lawyers to follow, you know, and understand. So these women clearly were read, you know, they were told what the contract is, but they were not read. They did not read it. They had to literally sign their name. They didn't know how to sign it. So this is just, you know, things that you believe in the doctor when she or he tells you what is going to happen. The respondents were unaware of the appropriate compensation in case of any casualties. And this has happened in India several times where, you know, somebody died or there has been some problem during the pregnancy and then nobody knows what to do. Then, you know, everybody starts to write articles in the newspaper. Everything becomes a big chaos because nobody's protected. Women's lack of information, I think, and we think, and the capacity for negotiation around surrogacy indicates their vulnerability in the situation. These are, as I said before, these are not women who have many choices. And this is a choice that they make because they need the money. Women, while physical and psychological health problems were common, among surrogates, the access to health care was limited. So there was no social worker, there was no psychologist, there was no counselor. You know, if you talk about surrogacy here, you have all these people lined up who come and talk to you, who go through a process, you know, sit down with you and make you understand what your risks are. You know, there is nothing like that over there. Women seem to have very little control or no control over their bodies and reported to have no other option when they decided to become a surrogate. These challenges faced by surrogate mothers in a very patriarchal, very conservative culture, these are oftentimes, I think, overlooked by people who are the intended couples. They do not understand. Where we have talked to couples, it's the common belief is we are helping somebody come out of poverty. It's not like that. It doesn't, you know, you give a chance for somebody, that's what they say, to become a surrogate and give 5 lakh rupees, it's not going to bring them out of poverty. It's, you know, that's kind of a misconception that people in foreign destinations have about women back in India. Obviously, this study has a lot of limitations, not a lot, a few. Sampling bias may have played a role in data collection effort because the researchers, we conducted research in one fertility clinic. Cross-sectional nature of the data, we want to do this as a longitudinal study to see what is going on over a period of time in terms of women and their health. The data that were collected was in 2 languages. Again, I said that, Hindi and Gujarati, and then we had to back translate, so maybe we lost some information in doing this. Implications, the policies that are needed around surrogacy need to have some kind of a uniform compensation and disclosure, education for surrogate mothers. I think that is not there. Awareness raising is needed to address stigma and protect surrogates in their local communities. And then further research is needed that examines mental well-being of surrogate mothers, both short-term as well as long-term. So, thank you very much.